Chatadagyaya Patinam Anapekshatam Vasudeve Bhagavati Yekanta Matir Apatam. Draupadi Chatadagyaya Patinam Anapekshatam Vasudeve Bhagavati Yekanta Matir Apatam. Draupadi Chatadagyaya Vasudeve Bhagavati Ye Kanta Matir Apatam Draupadi Chatadagyaya Patinam Anapekshatam Vasudeve Bhagavati Ye Kanta Matir Apatam. Concentration. and Subhadra became absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and attained the same results as their husbands. Translation responsibly. Draupadi also saw that her husbands, without caring for her, were leaving home. She knew well about Lord Vasudev, Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Both she and Subhadra became absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and attained the same results as their husbands. When flying an aeroplane, one cannot take care of other planes. Everyone has to take care of his own plane. And if there is any danger, no other plane can help another in that condition. Similarly, at the end of life, when one has to go back home, back to Godhead, everyone has to take care of himself without help rendered by another. The help is, however, often on the ground before flying in space. Similarly, the spiritual master, the father, the mother, the relatives, the husband, and others can all render help during one's lifetime. But while crossing the sea, one has to take care of himself and utilize the instructions formerly received. Draupadi had 5 husbands, and no one asked Draupadi to come. Draupadi had to take care of herself without waiting for her great husbands. And because she was already trained, she at once took to concentration upon the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The wives also got the same result as their husbands. In the same manner, that is to say, without changing their bodies, they reached the destination of Godhead. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur suggests that both Draupadi and Subhadra, although her name is not mentioned herein, got the same result. None of them had to quit the body. Omagyan Timidandasya Genanjina Shalakaya Chakshur Militamina Tasmai Sri Gurave Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakita Vancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripasandu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram says, when flying an aeroplane, one cannot take care of other planes. Everyone has to take care of his own plane. This is a famous line from Prabhupada's purports. Everyone has to take care of his own plane. So that's quite frightening that at the end of our lives, at the time of death, we have to take care of our own plane. Of course, Bhuvaneshwar Prabhu was here recently from Vrindavan. He's been cooking for the deities, for Krishna and Balaram and Radha Shama Sundar and Gaur-Nitai in Vrindavan. He's been cooking for them for like 25 years or so, practically every day, day in and day out. He's cooking the offerings for the deities. So he said with confidence and conviction, actually there's nothing to fear at the time of death for a devotee. Because when a devotee is transcendental in consciousness, when he is conscious of Krishna, then there is nothing to fear. Because Krishna always protects the devotees. But not all of us are on that level of conviction or that level of faith. You can see Bhuvaneshwar Prabhu was fully surrendered to Krishna, fully absorbed in Krishna's service. Every day cooking for the deities, day in, day out. years upon end, maybe 25 years non-stop, just cooking every day for the deity. So that's absorbed in Krishna, in Krishna's service, just fully absorbed. Ekeha, kuru nandana. There is nothing else. There is only service for Krishna. So if one is on that level, if one practices bhakti like that during his life, on that level, then at the time of death, then one can absorb oneself in Krishna. And there's no fear. But if we are not on that level, then we feel frightened. I will be there at the time of death. Will I remember Krishna? Will I not? Am I advanced enough? Have I become pure enough that I will go back to Godhead? So this is frightening for the conditioned soul. In the third canto of the Bhagavatam, Kapiladeva describes there are five types of avijja, which cover the false ego of the conditioned soul. This is also mentioned by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur in the Madhurya Kadambini. He says that we have five coverings of ignorance, which cover our false ego like that. One is called avijja itself, ignorance. Then there is asmita. And then there is raga. And then there is dvesha. And the final one, Sanskrit is, how does it go? Apini vesha. Which means that one has a fear of death. That's part of false ego. Naturally to fear death. It's a part of false ego. When we're covered by false ego, we will have asmita, we will have avijja, we will have raga and dvesha, and abhinivesha. It's a part of being in this material world, being covered by the material world. You're scared to die. So it is a very difficult situation, and it's the greatest test that all of us will have to face. Actually, all of our sadhana, all of our bhakti is tested at the time of death. You will see. You will see how you have gone. That's the final examination. And you'll get your final mark. And hopefully we pass. Hopefully we don't get an F. However, Prabhupada has actually said, Tamal Krishnamurti was with Prabhupada in Juhu in Mumbai, in Bombay. And they were sitting on the balcony, you know, those towers. And Prabhupada's room is up the top. He can go there and see Prabhupada's rooms. So Prabhupada was on the balcony with Tamal Krishnamurti, and Tamal Krishnamurti was complaining to Prabhupada because at that time his service was to spend 12 hours a day in the lawyer's office in Mumbai. So very austere, defending, because there was a battle going on to attain the Juhu land. Mr. Nair had tried to cheat Prabhupada, so there was a battle taking place. And at the end of the battle, Prabhupada said that was a good fight. Prabhupada was actually in New Zealand. He was here and then he just went across to New Zealand. He got to New Zealand, and then the telegram came, the message came, Mr. Nair has had a heart attack. He left his body. He gave the land to Prabhupada and then cheated the land to get it back like that. So it was a big fight, went for 2 years. And Prabhupada was fighting. Prabhupada was ferocious in battle. He wouldn't step down. Mr. Nair was actually, they were fighting hard to keep that land. Even at one time they sent the dacoits. The dacoits came and they began to smash the temple apart. And the devotees, Prabhupada's disciples, even the Mataji's, they were holding on to the pillars of the temple, and the dacoits were pulling them off and beating them and smash the temple. And then someone managed to go and get the police and bring them. And just when they were just getting to the actual deity room, the actual temple room, then the police came and they stopped the situation. But then it was said that they had to, that was Sunday evening, and by, I think it was 9 o'clock the next morning, they had to have some sort of certificate saying that this land actually belonged to ISKCON, or else they were going to come back and legally smash everything down. So then there was Mr. Sethi. He was a friend of Prabhupada's. He was helping ISKCON at the time. He had a small construction company. So then he came with his workers in the middle of the night and rebuilt the temple in the middle of the night, so they could say there was a temple there. So the next morning when it went to the magistrate's office, they could say there was a temple. They were trying to pull the temple down, so they could say there's no temple there, so you can, you know, they have to give the land to us. Because in India, if you have something there, then the land belongs to you. It's a complicated system. So then, in the middle of the night, they rebuilt the temple. He had his... And Mr. Sethi and his son, they had two guns. And they were standing at the front gate with the guns all night, in case the dacoits came back, because they said the 100 dacoits are coming back to attack. In the middle of the night, they will come. Mr. Sethi said, okay, tell them to come. He said, 100 dacoits. He said, tell them to come. He said, I have 200 bullets. So you tell them. Tell the dacoits, come. Well, I have 200 bullets, I'm waiting. So this was the mood. Prabhupada very much appreciated this kind of mood. He would die for the deities. Prabhupada appreciated this. He gave great blessings to Mr. Sethi. Mr. Sethi left his body a few years ago, actually, like that. So he's fully blessed by Prabhupada. This is the mood the devotee should have. So then Prabhupada was in New Zealand, and then the message came. Mr. Nair has had a heart attack. And Prabhupada said, I've been praying to Lord Nisringadev to kill his demon. Prabhupada said that. That's not recorded in the Lilamrita. It doesn't say the problem, but he said that. Prabhupada said, I've been praying to Lord Nisringadev to kill this demon. And then Prabhupada said, he went back, he rested back on his seat, and Prabhupada said, this was the best fight. He said, this was the best fight. 2 years in the fight, the fighting back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Prabhupada was very powerful, ferocious in battle. You could not defeat Prabhupada. He would just fight you head on. If you opposed him, then you were in for a great battle. And Prabhupada won, because he knew that the devotees will be victorious because they're with Krishna. So, as is being pointed out here, that normally we are very scared of death. But for one who is fully giving his life to Krishna, there is no fear of death. But for most of us, then we have this fear of death, asmita, abhinivesh, means there is a fear. It's within the false ego. We have a natural fear that we will die, and that's a very scary thought. So everything will be tested at that final moment. When we are just about to die, everything will be tested. Are we actually able to remember Krishna at the time of death? So here, it is said, you have to fly your own plane. But on the other hand, Prabhupada also says in other places, he says, actually, it is not within us to go back to Godhead. It's not by our ability that we can go back to Godhead, actually speaking. It is not by our ability to go back to Godhead. Oh, that's right. I was wondering how I got onto that whole story about Bombay. Okay, so I'll go back. So anyway, so Prabhupada was with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and they're on the balcony in Mumbai. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was complaining. It's so difficult. He was spending 12 hours a day down in the court with the lawyers, trying to get this land back. So it was very austere. So he was complaining. He said, Prabhupada, you know, I have to spend so many hours a day every day. I'm a sannyasi, you know, and we have to spend all this time in the lawyer's office. He's so austere. He said, I can quote practically every bylaw in the Mumbai municipality's bylaw section. They said, I can't quote the Bhagavad Gita. I know all these, you know, bylaws. I can tell you them word for word. But you know, I'm so there, I'm so down there. I'm doing so much. I haven't even got time to study the Gita and learn shlokas. And it's so difficult. I'm a sannyasi. I should be preaching. And it was going on and on. And then Prabhupada just cut him short. He said, for so many lifetimes, you've served so many other masters. In this one lifetime, you just fully surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And whatever you are lacking at the time of death, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will cover that, and he will take you back to Godhead. And if you listen to Tamal Krishnamurti's lectures, that's the story he tells more than any other story. I've listened to thousands and thousands of hours of him speaking. And he tells that story again, and probably every third or fourth class, he practically tells that story. Whatever you're lacking at the time of death, if you've given everything to Lord Chaitanya for one lifetime, Lord Chaitanya will cover all of the everything you're lacking, and he'll take you back home back to Godhead. And you practically see in Tamal Krishnamurti's own life, that's what happened. He gave everything for Prabhupada's service. And at the time of death, right, if there was anything lacking, that was covered. And Mahaprabhu, he left in Navadvip, he left in Mahaprabhu's land, right, at the time of death. So, if we give everything, even if there's something lacking, then Krishna will look after us. So Prabhupada says here, you have to fly your own plane. But actually speaking, it's not us who will actually take us back to Godhead. It is actually Krishna's mercy which will take us back to Godhead, ultimately. Like that. But it means we have to be flying the plane. It means the plane has to be in the air. It has to be going in the right direction. So we do have a part to play. Right? At least we have to make sure we're going in the right direction. We have to make sure the plane is doing what it's supposed to be doing. We have to become good pilots. We have to be able to take off, right? Fly properly, and get to the destination. We have to become expert pilots. So there's a lot of training which the spiritual master and the senior personalities are giving us, so that we will make a good attempt to get to our destination. So there's a lot of training which is being given to us. We're being trained very carefully so that we can arrive at that destination. And even if we can't fully get to the destination at the time of death, then still we'll be helped on that final leg. At least we're going in the right direction. Just like after the Twin Towers came down on 9/11, 2001, then in America they had the pilot training centers where they trained pilots. So then some people came in and they said, "We want to learn how to fly. You know, do the pilot training. It's all simulated. You get in the cockpit and it's like simulated." They said, "But we don't want to land and we don't want to take off. We just want to learn how to fly." So then the people rang the police and they said, "You might want to come down and speak to these guys because they just want to learn the flying part. They don't want to learn landing or taking off." And they were terrorists, actually. They were trying to learn just how to fly the plane. Like that. So we're not like that. We don't just want to learn one part. We have to learn all the different parts. So sadhana bhakti means you have to learn everything. You have to be trained very carefully. Now, Prabhupada actually says that there are many rules in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada actually said one time a devotee said to Prabhupada, "There are so many rules." Prabhupada said, "If I told you all the rules, you would faint. You wouldn't even get up in the morning. If you knew all the rules that you're supposed to, according to the Smriti Shastra, according to all the rules and regulations, which the smartest follow, you know, to chant Gayatri takes, I think you have to do like 15 minutes of pranayama maybe before you start chanting your Gayatri. Yeah, they follow so many rules and regulations. Right. Just so you can chant your Gayatri mantra. We don't do like that." Prabhupada said, "I'm not going to show you all the rules and regulations, but Prabhupada is showing us the essential things, the most important things." And Rupa Goswami has taken from all the Shastras, because Prabhupada has explained that nectar of devotion, or the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Prabhupada's summary study, which is called Nectar of Devotion, that is the law book for ISKCON. Prabhupada said that is the law book. Right? That's what we follow, right, in order to go back home, back to Godhead. Right? So Rupa Goswami has distilled, or he's taken the essence of all of the Vedic literatures, and he's given us 64 do's and 64 do nots. Viti nisheta. Viti means things you must accept. Vaiti means things you must accept. And nisheta thing means things which must be avoided. So he's taken the most important things. But we have to learn to do those things carefully. We have to know at least what they are. What are they? What are the things which we must do? What are the things which we must avoid? So that's our training, right? That's the spiritual master's duty. And that is the duty of the spiritual master's representatives, the senior Vaishnavas in your community. Their duty is to train you in these points. What you should do, viti, and nisheda, what you should not do. Right? So that you advance properly in Krishna consciousness. Right? Otherwise you won't get to the goal. Right? If you're constantly committing offences or not doing things properly, your plane is not maybe even going to take off. Right? It might not get very far. You know, you might just take off and then crash, or you might just float off into, you know, the sky, going completely the wrong direction. You need to know, you need to be trained. What are the right things to do? So the viti is given, the nisheda is given. So what is the viti? 64 things which you must do. What are the 64? You have to tell me, what are the 64? Otherwise we're not having breakfast. What are the 64? Very good, that is the first. That is the first. Like that. So, it is said that Jiva Goswami, in his commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, he says that the first 20 are Bhakti Dwara. Bhakti Dwara means the gateway to Bhakti. How will you get to Bhakti? The first 20 are the most important. The second 10, they are the principal nisheda, principal things which must be avoided, which then he elaborates a little further on after he does the 64, then he elaborates on them, and he says these are the things which must be avoided. Those 10 then become 64 offences to be avoided. And the first 10, he said, they are the most important principles of bhakti, dwara. If you want to get through the gateway of bhakti, the first 10 are the most essential. And he says that the first 10, the first 3 are the most essential. Gurupad Ashraya. First thing is, you must take shelter of a guru. Why do you need guru? Because guru teaches you how to serve Krishna. Otherwise you have no idea how to please Krishna. Because bhakti must be favorably performed. Anukul means favorable. You must have the right attitude. You're doing it with the right intent or with a loving spirit towards Krishna, a favorable disposition towards Krishna. But secondly, the second element is you must also understand specifically what it is that Krishna wants, what pleases him. You know, and I've given that story many times, that, you know, people always leave things in front of the altar. You know, there's milk and there's rice and there's so many things they leave in front of the altar, which then we take to the paraphernalia room or the like. So many years ago, someone left a nice little box. So we thought, oh, you know, what's in the box? Someone's left a nice little box for Krishna. So they took it into the paraphernalia room. Devotees opened up the box, and it was a box of cigars. So the intent was very favorable. You know, the person thought, oh, this is a very good gift for the deities. You know, just like in the West, right? If you have a baby, then you think, okay, I'll give cigars to everyone. Right? It's considered a good thing. Oh, it's high class. Like that. So the intent was good. But Krishna does not accept it. That's not what Krishna wants. Where is it in the Shastra? It says that he will take the cigar. He's smiling too if before Mangalati you ate. Sandesh, Murphy, Rasmalai, Meskula, and sweet rice. I'd be smiling. He's always happy. He's always happy. You'd be happy too if you were eating what he was eating. I used to eat what he ate. They were the good days. I used to eat all those things. I can't eat them now. I can eat 7 times a day or more. Spiritual world even more. But we cannot do 3 times a day maximum like that. They have 4 meals, the body goes, crashes, or 2 meals. Or some very austere people, they only take 1 meal. Some people only take fruits, He doesn't take it. He doesn't enjoy it. He doesn't want it. What does he take? It mentions. Betel nut. Right? Always chewing pan. Right? He takes the betel nut. They're always making. You see some of the pictures, the newer pictures which have come out of Krishna, sometimes with Radharani, and he has the Russian artist, they often, and on the plate, some gobi or manjari is holding the plate, and on the plate there are little leaves. They get little leaf and they put betel in there. Betel nut. People chew it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, his followers shall not chew it, because it's a mild intoxicant. So we don't take it. But we offer it to Krishna, he takes it. And it makes the mouth always reddish, the teeth are always a little bit reddish like that. And in India, everyone takes it. They're addicted to it. It's a mild intoxicant, mild stimulant like that. We don't take it. Lord Chaitanya said we're not allowed to take it. In Papua New Guinea, everyone takes it. It's a big, not everyone, but it's a big thing. And now they're having a big fight with the government because the government wants to ban it. Because everyone chews it and they just spit. So all over Papua New Guinea and also India, just like there's red spit everywhere. Not very sattvic. Everyone. So a big fight now going on with the government because they're trying to ban it, and the people are saying, "We're not. This is our." I was watching some news report or something, and some guy in Papua New Guinea is going, "Our forefathers have done this. My grandfather did this. He chewed the betel. My father chewed it. Now I am chewing it. You cannot ban it. It is our right to chew the betel. If a conditioned soul gets attached to the most stupid things." You know, I have to make my mouth red and spit it. You know, this is my heritage. You know, they're so fired up about it. So, this is the way the conditioned soul gets. This is avidya, part of the false ego. Ignorance, just ignorant. So attached to things which mean nothing. But Krishna, he chews betel. Gets these little leaves, which are offered by the devotees, and he chews it. He's always chewing it, actually. It's like, he started it. He starts most things, actually. But then when we do it, it becomes perverted. And because it becomes perverted, then it is rejected. It is pratikul. It is unfavorable. When he does it, it's anukul. It's good. But when we do it, it's pratikul. He dances with the women. Anukul. Good. We dance with the women. Pratikul. Rejected. Like that. He can do it, you cannot do it. You cannot imitate him. Everyone in the material world wants to imitate him. But we cannot imitate him. Prabhupada says Shiva smokes the ganja. Shiva takes the marijuana. But not affected by it. He's just taking it because then he attracts the tamasic entities. They say, oh, someone's smoking that ganja. Where is that? So they'll come. And then they come and they sit near Shiva. And then what is Shiva doing? Absorbed in Bhagavatam. Speaking to the Kumaras or to Narada or like that. He's absorbed like that. So then Prabhupada points out, okay, Shiva is taking the ganja. So you say, I can take ganja, Shiva's doing it, I can also do it. Mahajan, yena kata sapanta. He's doing it, I can also do it. Then Prabhupada said, okay, drink poison. Shiva also did that. Nila kanta, throat is blue because he drank all the poison from the ocean of milk to protect everyone else in the universe. Because the poison was going to spread. So he said, I'll protect everyone. So he drank it all. So Prabhupada said, okay, you do that as well. You want to imitate Krishna, you want to dance with the girls, right? Then Prabhupada said, then also lift Govardhan Hill. That's okay. You want to dance with the girls? You go and dance with the girls. But then make sure you lift Govardhan Hill as well. That has to be part of your program. Right? Don't get caught up on one without the other. Like that. So, we have to learn what it is that Krishna wants. We have to understand what Krishna wants. How do you learn this? From Guru. From Guru and Guru's representatives, the senior Vaishnavas. You have to be trained. What does Krishna want? Just like I was with my Guru, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, in New Govardhan, in the greenhouse. Is it still green? What do they call it now? So called greenhouse. find me a table to put the books on. So I went and got a table, right? Went and got a chair, set everything up for him. And then he walked in, you know, with his books ready to sit down and read. And he looked at the table and he said, "What do they do with that table?" And I just looked at him, you know, and I was like, "Fuck the." Oh no, I was initiated. So I was just a new devotee. I'd only been devotee a couple of years or something. So I just looked at him, like, he said, "What do they do with that table?" And I said, "They eat off it. That's what people do with tables, they eat off the table." He said, "That's right, they eat off the table." So I said, "You want me to put Prabhupada's books on the place which is contaminated where people have eaten?" And then it suddenly struck me. He said, "Get a sheet." So I went into the room, grabbed the sheet, you know, I can't remember where I got it from, brought back, and he said, "Where is that sheet from?" So I'm looking at him like, you know, and you know, it's like a brahmachari meltdown, you know, like a disciple meltdown. You see the disciples meltdown in front of the guru, you know, and the disciple's like, yeah, the guru's going, "What is that?" Right? And you're just standing up. Guru's training you. First become conscious. Prabhupada would say, first become conscious, then become Krishna conscious. If you're not even conscious, then how are you going to? If you can't even work out which fuel to put in the car, right? Like devotees down the farm, you know, they do crazy things, put diesel in the unleaded tanks and stuff. Prabhupada said, become conscious, then you'll become Krishna conscious. You know, like the girls were coming down for the wedding, you know, the brahmacharini, so they ring me up, you know, how do I get there? How do I get to the farm, right? Oh, it's very simple, right? You drive to a place called Colac. When you get to a place called Winchester, you turn left at C-151, and then you go to the one, there's one turn on the whole trip, there's one turn. So I get about 3 phone calls in about 15 minutes. Oh, you know, do I have to go to this one or I have to go to that one? You know, did I just tell you 5 minutes ago? Call that. Am I supposed to go to Torquay? It's got spaced out. What are you going to do when you get to the spiritual world? Yeah, you're running around the spiritual world with garlands for Radha and Krishna. Oh, which kunj are they in? Oh, you know, are they, you know, which kunj? Oh, they're in the kunj down there. And then you know, 5 minutes later, oh, which kunj are they in? Completely spaced out. So that kind of bhakti will not get you back to the spiritual world. Prabhupada was very heavy on his disciples. Like, heavy on his disciples. Tamal Krishnamurti told us one morning, we were serving him breakfast just over there in the room. We're serving him breakfast, and he was getting on our case. You know, he was very powerful. He just, you know, and then he looked at us at one point, because we were like, you know, just, you know, like I remember a few trips he would pick up my subtle body when he'd come, he'd get my subtle body and he'd take it out of my body and he'd smash it for a week and then he'd put it back in. And then he'd go, and then he'd just go. And then he'd go. Yeah, so the guru would, you know, the guru does this to train you. He's trying to bring you up. And he said to us one morning, we were serving him, and he said, "You think I'm heavy?" He said, "Do you know what it was like getting chastised by Prabhupada?" He said, "I'm only doing this to help you." He said, "Do you think Prabhupada was soft?" He said, "Prabhupada was intense." You know, at one point I was telling that story about the land, the Juhu land. So Tamal Krishnamurti and I think it was Shama Sundara, Mr. Nair's lawyers convinced them to give the land back. Prabhupada had the land, legally had the document. They came, when Prabhupada was out of Mumbai, they convinced them to give the document back. So Tamal Krishnamurti rang Prabhupada wherever he was in India and said, "Prabhupada, I've given the document back." You know, thinking for some reason he was convinced Prabhupada would be happy. Prabhupada said, "You could not have," and just hung up the phone. Within a few hours, Prabhupada was back in Mumbai. And then for a month and a half, Prabhupada was sitting there in his room, his darshan room, and all the life members were coming, rich life members, wealthy life members to come, who were supporting Prabhupada. And he had Tamal Krishnamurti sitting next to him for a month and a half, next to the Prabhupada's Vyasasa. And they would come in, and they'd have darshan with Prabhupada, and for a month and a half he said, "This foolish boy has given..." is just coming in again and again and again, just smashing the disciples. Just smashing the disciple, right? To train the disciple. Because he wanted the disciples to come up, to take responsibility. Not to be all spaced. But devotees have to be organized. What do you think it's like in the spiritual world? Do you think everyone's running around like, oh, you know, where's this, where's that? Oh, Radha and Krishna are coming, quick, quick, quick. No, everything's organized. What was Prabhupada like? You ever see Prabhupada running anywhere? Right, always graceful, always on time for everything. Right? So organized. One time he had a bank account which had a 7-year long-term interest program. Prabhupada didn't even have it written down. We don't think that Prabhupada actually had it written down. From 7 years to the day, Prabhupada turned to his servant, whoever it was at the time, he said, go and withdraw that money. Right? He was so organized. And Prabhupada was from the spiritual world. The spiritual world is like that. It is organized. It's full of pure devotees who are perfectly organized and coherent in helping each other to give perfect service to Radha and Krishna, for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. That's what the spiritual world is like. So the Guru is training us to be like that. We have to become responsible. We can't just be like this spaced out devotees forever. You know, get over your mind and start being a proper servant of the spiritual mind, and then you'll make some advancement. Do things properly. So we were, I was serving to Mokrishma, I was up at Mwamba. So then he said, get a sheet. So I brought the sheet, you know, and then he said, what have they been doing with that sheet? You know, I can't remember at the time, maybe I got a sheet which was not. Like, I don't think I would have done that. But then he made the point, he's just making the point, make sure that sheet is clean. And then when I found a clean sheet, which had not been used for anything else, he said, okay, put it on the table. And then set everything up, and then he sat there and read for 2 hours. So the disciple, the guru is always training, and the senior devotees are training us. Just like before we do Guru Puja, like I come here once a week, right? So I come for Guru Puja. So in the old days, you know, not that long ago, 10, 15 years, 20 years ago, when Guru Puja was there for Prabhupada, whoever's leading is standing there ready by the time the Govindam prayers are finished. Is standing there ready. The microphone is set up. The person who's going to play cartels is standing there ready. And the person who's offering the Adi to Prabhupada already has everything set up. These days, it's still like a circus. Right? You know, Prabhupada's Guru Puja is about to begin. Everyone's still running around. It's not even worked out who's doing it. Some brahmacharis, you know, still taking charan and reading, and he runs up to get everything ready. It's not the way Prabhupada wanted things. You know, the training has to be better than that. The service has to be better. If Prabhupada was here, would you be doing it like that? Prabhupada is here. So you do things properly. Treat him like he is here. Have everything ready. Right, that's responsibility. That's service. That's first class. That's what the Guru is training us for. That's what Prabhupada is training us for. Prabhupada was very attentive to details in bhakti, in devotional service. Everything had to be precise. Everything had to be... one time, Prabhupada went to Hyderabad. It might have been about 76, I think. And he went to the Hyderabad farm, and they were just trying to get the farm going. You know, Prabhupada was trying to get the project happening. So he organized for it. He said, invite, because he got there and there's nothing happening. It was just a farm out in the middle of nowhere, and there's nothing happening, no preaching going on. Prabhupada said, start something. He said, I want preaching. He said, go and invite all the villagers. And for the next 7 nights, we'll have programs here each evening. So Prabhupada wanted kirtan, he wanted some class, some spiritual discourse, and then he wanted prasadam. So Prabhupada didn't even come out. He had a few sannyasis there, so he got them to do the program. So then, Prabhupada was in his room. He came out at some point in time, because he'd always come out and check what the prasadam was like. Always came out to check what was the what are they being served. The first night they were serving, you know, in India they have those little white sugary things. You know what they call? It's like they just call it mishri. Like that. It's like whatever it is. It's like, you know, those little white sugary balls. You know, sometimes you go to a temple and they give you some of that as prasad. Prabhupada. Okay. Yeah, so Prabhupada didn't like that. Prabhupada didn't want ISKCON to be like that. He go to the temple and you get a couple of little white things, which, you know, someone put in front of the deities for 2 seconds, and then, you know, here's Mahaprasad. You know, Prabhupada notes that Mahaprasad means Mahaprasad. You know, in this context, it's almost gone to the other level in this temple. Like, you know, if you go to India, Mahaprasad means you get a little morsel like this. If you go to see Radha Govinda in Jaipur, you'll get a little morsel of prasad. And devotees are ecstatic just to get that. You know, in Melbourne, we get like a whole plate every time you walk in, practically. This temple is phenomenal. What it provides, phenomenal. You know. So, Prabhupada did one. So, the first night, they're just giving these little white bits of puff. You know, like little white sugar, puffy things. Prabhupada was disgusted. He said, "What is this?" He said, "This is not our standard. Tomorrow night, I want prasad." So, then he came out the second night, and the devotees couldn't find someone to cook. There was some problem. So they just cooked rice. And the person who cooked it was the cleaner, because they couldn't find someone to cook. So they got the guy who was cleaning, the bungee. Bungee means cleaner. Is that correct? Yeah, bungee, like the cleaner. Not even suchi. Right? Just, and they got him to cook some rice. Didn't even cook it properly. And they were just serving that. Prabhupada was furious. He was disgusted. And he called all the sannyasis in, whoever was there, and he just chastised everyone. He said, "You are making a farce of my movement." Okay. So Prabhupada was very particular. When he installed Gaudiya here, Prabhupada personally installed them. You see the video. Kongwa Prabhu is there. He's leading the kirtan. Madhujis is assisting Prabhupada, and he installs Gaudiya. And Prabhupada goes up to his room afterwards, and then he asks for every item on the feast to be brought up to him. Because Prabhupada wouldn't eat at night, generally. That was his sit-view. Watch his program, night he'd have a cup of milk. Maybe sometimes he'd have a few paratas, or sometimes he'd eat something, but usually he wouldn't eat too much. But he asked for every item to come up. What are they serving? I want to see what the guests are getting. Make sure the prasad, and then he tried everything, a little bit of everything. And then they had apple crumble. And then Prabhupada tasted it. And he said, "Bring me more of the crispy apples." He said, "Bring the crispy apples. I want more." Because it was very nice. Prabhupada was very happy. And the devotees were unsure whether they should be offering oats to the deities. Because oats is usually, it's very coarse food. Some devotees are saying this is only for horses. It's not for the deities. Oats, like that. So when Prabhupada tasted it, they said, "Prabhupada, is this okay to offer to the deities?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, it's okay." He actually liked it. He liked apple crumb. He said, "Crispy apples." He liked that. So Prabhupada was very meticulous. So we should also be trained so that the standards continue. This is called parampara. Right? We are members of the parampara, which means the same standards have to continue for the next 10,000 years. What happens if you change all the standards? What happens if you bring all the standards down? Then what happens? Then the next lot of devotees who come, they think, "Oh, that is the standard." Just like when I joined, the 7 o'clock offering was so opulent. Was a really opulent offering. These days, it's nothing like it was before. Now, you know, we call it these days the brown offering. Everything's brown, right? Brown cookies, brown cakes. You know, when Krishna, I mean, imagine if, you know, you cook with your guru and everything's brown. Brown bakora, 2 different types of brown bakora. Like, it's all brown, 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 but it doesn't even look appealing. Back when, you know, like 20 of the, all different types. If you ever see a Chinchurupa Mataji, like one, sometimes she has to step in and cook that offering, and you see what she cooks, that's actually the standard. You know, nice cakes, different things for the deities. And sometimes devotees just want to get in and out as quickly as possible. That's not what bhakti is about. Now, if you have a service, then you do that service to the best of your ability. That was the standard which Prabhupada expected. So everything has to be kept to a very high standard. Right? That's what we're being trained for. And then at the time of death, if we, because Prabhupada says here in this famous purport, you have to fly your own plane. So at the time of death, you have to be offering a bhakti to Krishna, which is of a high standard. You have to be well trained by the time you're ready to die. So that at least you're close enough to the spiritual world that maybe you'll get in. Yeah, at least your plane's going in the right direction. Maybe it's not there yet, but at least you're close. And then Lord Chaitanya, as Prabhupada said, he can step in. He said, "Okay, you know, there's a few things wrong, but don't worry about that, just come back." Prabhupada one said 70%. You know, he gave that lecture. He said, you have to become fully Krishna conscious. And devotees were looking quite depressed. You have to become fully Krishna conscious before you'll go back to God. So at the end of the lecture, Prabhupada looked at everyone and said, any questions or comments? Everyone's just looking at Prabhupada. No questions, no comments. And Prabhupada could tell. He looked at everyone. Prabhupada said, okay, 90%. So he got off the Vyasa Sam, he looked around at everyone, everyone's just looking at Prabhupada. He said, okay, 80. Right? And he started walking out, and he looked around, everyone was still sitting there, was still a little stunned. And then Prabhupada got his chatter and he threw it over his shoulder. He said, 70. 70%. And then he walked out. And everyone said, Jai Prabhupada. So if we can get to 70%, which is very high, if we can get to be 70% of pure devotee, then Lord Chaitanya might give you the other 30%. But he's not going to give you 31. You have to get past the 70. You know, the bar has been lowered as much as it gets lowered, but you still have to get over. So you try your best, just like Garuda and the eagle. Prabhupada gives that example in the Bhagavad Gita. Garuda and the sparrow. We are the sparrow. We're trying our best, right? But we're not going to empty an ocean. But we're trying our best. Then Garuda, he sees, oh, okay, this person's trying. Okay, I'll take over. So it's like that. Bhakti is like that. We're trying our best. Then Lord Chaitanya looks down and he says, okay, that's good enough. Back. So we'll stop here. We'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we have discussed. Not in that form. In other words, Charitamrita, then it says that Ramananda Roy, Arjuna, and him have some connection, personality. And then Arjuna is actually mentioned, or Ramananda Roy said to be several personalities, kind of combining that personality, and it mentions Arjuna. And then, so they would have maybe an origin in the spiritual world, Any other question or comment? I'm just thinking, this is very uncomfortable. It's like, then you start thinking,